The story of Mert and Marv. Ray Hunt is in a jam. Billy DeVere is trying to blackmail him. She had agreed to do a thorough job of blackening Mert's character in return for preference over the other girls in the show. But Ray has not kept his part of the bargain. As well, Ray had made certain promises to Vivian, the premier danseuse of the show, whose place Margie is taking. Again, he had failed to hold his promises. Vivian hysterically told Ray that he would pay dearly for having her thrown out of the show. Murder was in the office to warn Hunt against trickery with Margie, added...
And if you're not careful with Margie, Mr. Hunt, I'll double what Vivian just said.
And finally, Hunt is also in trouble with his wife, who has admonished him not to push her patience too far. In just a moment, we'll see what comes of all this in today's episode of the story of Mert and Marv. A few hours have gone by. It's still before noon, and the scene is the Chick Chick's dressing room. Rehearsal is over, and the girls and Clarence are talking about it.
Boy, was Hunt crabby at rehearsal. What a disposition.
Yeah, I'd hate to be his wife.
I know one dame who'd jump at the chance.
If you mean me, Billy, I'll tell you. I'd hate to be his wife because she associates with such common trash.
Now, what do you mean by that, Crackspear?
Don't irritate her, Myrtle. She'll only start more trouble.
Oh, Marge, I want you in the theater tonight at 7 o'clock. I'll have to take in the seams in Vivian's costume.
You mean Vivian isn't going on tonight?
Not that it's any of your business, Madam DeVere, but I've had orders to have the costume ready for Marge to wear tonight. Make your own deductions, Miss Sherlock Holmes.
Well, what about Vivian's 2 weeks' notice?
Well, Mr. Hayfield always does everything in a grand manner. Vivian got her 2 weeks' salary, which gives her 2 weeks' notice, see?
No, I don't, Clarence. If she got 2 weeks' notice and 2 weeks' salary, gee, she got 4 weeks.
Oh, let me out of here before I strangle her.
2 weeks.
Remember, 7 o'clock, Marge. Ta-ta.
I'll be here, Clarence. So you go on tonight, Minder. You don't seem to be so happy.
I'm not. Don't any of you think I even want to?
Ha! What a laugh. Come on, let's go, Margie.
I'm ready. Where are we going to meet Mr. Arnold?
At his office. Let's take a cab.
Good morning. May I help you?
We have an appointment with Mr. Arnold. Miss Beer and Miss Mitter?
Oh, yes. I think he has someone in his office, but I'll see.
Yes, Miss Carroll?
Miss Spear and Miss Minder are here, Mr. Arnold.
Oh, pardon me, Mr. Baker. Miss Carroll, tell them I'll see them in a few minutes.
Certainly, Mr. Arnold.
Perhaps I'd better not take up any more of your time, Mr. Arnold.
Well, that's perfectly all right, Mr. Baker. I'm only too willing to help you if I can, but I don't really see how I can. Now, if it were a kidnapping case, I might be able to trace some records, but just the mere vanishing of a young lady, well, that's very different.
Yes, I realize that, Mr. Arnold, but you see, I'm a stranger in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. My client doesn't want to put this case through the regular police channels or give it to a private detective agency. He wants absolutely no publicity.
Well, I can understand that. You say he's a rather well-known business leader?
Yes. And he would prefer not to have his name mentioned and to have the case handled with the utmost secrecy.
Secrecy.
Yes.
You are his attorney, Mr. Baker?
Yes. Officially. Privately, probably even closer than that. Sort of a confidant, his right-hand man, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. This woman you say was an actress named Agnes Hallam. You have her description, of course.
Oh, yes, I have a description, yes. How well that description would fit her after all these years, I don't know. You see, my client doesn't know whether the woman lives in luxury or poverty, or if she's alive or dead. She was just a young girl when she disappeared completely. All I know is her name is Agnes Hallam. She may have even changed that.
Well, Mr. Begg, you certainly have a job on your hands. It's hard to advise you just which way to turn without going to the police.
But I thought, Mr. Arnold, that you might have some theatrical agents or producers or directors on your list of acquaintances or contacts. I thought that if I could reach some of these men and question them, I might find a clue.
Mm-hmm. What makes you think this Agnes Holland is in New York?
Oh, I don't know where she is. New York is the Mecca for all show folk.
Yes.
I thought I might find a trace of her here, if any trace is to be found.
Well, Mr. Baker, I do know one of the biggest producers in the business, Francis Hayfield, the producer of Hayfield's Pleasures. I'll be glad to call him and arrange an appointment for you. Suppose I try right now, huh? Miss Carroll, get me Hayfield's Theater. I want to talk to Mr. Hayfield personally. Yes, I'll hang on.
I can't apologize enough for bothering you with my worries, Mr. Arnold, but it just seemed as if you'd be the man to help me.
Oh, no apologies necessary. In fact, after the troubles I've had recently with a few gentlemen from Gangland, it's a relief to listen to a case like this. Excuse me. Hello? Oh, hello, Mr. Hayfield. Fine, how are you? Mr. Hayfield, I'm calling for a Mr. Baker who is trying to trace an actress named Agnes Holland. Well, I'm not surprised at that, but... Well, I was wondering if I might send Mr. Baker over to see you. Uh-huh. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Hayfield. Yes, thanks. Goodbye. Said he'd do whatever he can, Mr. Baker, so I'd suggest you get in touch with him immediately.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold, for your time and trouble.
Oh, not at all. Now that you've aroused my curiosity, be sure to keep in touch with me, will you? I'd be glad to play detective with you. And I sincerely hope you find this missing Agnes Holland.
Thank you. Well, good day, Mr. Arnold, and... Thank you again.
Not at all. Good day, sir. Hello, girls. Come on in.
Oh, hello, Jack. I bet we picked your busy day.
Hello, Mr. Arnold.
Hello, Marty. Seems to me that I made some sort of rash offer about lunch or something, didn't I?
Oh, well, Jack, if you're too busy...
No, no, I should say I'm not. What have I got to be busy about? Gang war's over and Jimmy's in California? I'm getting bored.
Oh, did Jimmy really go to California?
Well, we put him on the train. I hope he went there, and I hope he stays there.
Yes, for good.
Well, what's happened to you girls lately? No more trouble, I hope.
No trouble at present, but I've got my fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm. How about Spike Duffy's offer, Myrtle? Are you still considering it?
Well, it does sound interesting. A winter in Florida, good salary, unlimited expense account. All I'd have to do is to meet the boys with a big dough, entice them into Duffy's Palace of Chance, and have the dealers take their money away from them. It's a cinch.
You're not serious, Myrtle.
No, I think maybe Sandfield might make me a better offer to go to Mexico. I love Mexico.
Myrtle!
Don't look like that, Margie. Of course I'm not serious. I know when to leave well enough alone.
Well, I should think you would.
Margie, we've got to watch now, Jack.
Margie?
Yeah, tonight she's being launched as premier danseuse of Hayfield's Pleasures.
What?
Not only in her own specialty, but also in the solo in the butterfly number. She's replacing Vivian.
Really? Well, Margie, that's splendid.
I'm so thrilled, Mr. Arnold, but I feel sorry for Vivian. She's terribly put out about losing it.
Put out about it's right. I was in Hunt's office today, and she came bursting in like she was taking Tokyo and gave Hunt a terrific bawling out. She looked like she could kill him.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, it's none of your affair, Margie. Hunt probably promoted her to the job in the first place.
Now he's promoting me.
Promoting you because Hayfield told him to. That's the only reason.
Well, Myrtle, Mr. Hunt told me that he was responsible, that he would make a star out of me.
Yes, and he probably told Vivian the same thing. It's an old and honored line. That's why I'm suspicious of him. That's why I went up to talk to him after you came out of his office.
Oh, you didn't quarrel, did you?
Oh, no. I just told him that if he tried any tricks on you, I'd double anything Vivian did to him.
Pardon me for interrupting, girls, but after all, this is my office, and I haven't been able to get a word in edgewise. Now, how about that lunch we were going to have?
Oh, just one thing before we go, Jack.
Hmm?
Have you had any more ideas about the conversation we overheard between Billy and Mrs. Hunt?
Well, Mert, frankly, as I told you, I don't know what to make of it or of Ray. I've talked to his wife several times since she moved to New York.
Well, what kind of a woman is she?
Well, Catherine Hunt has changed since I first knew her. She used to play the invalid, still does, perhaps, mm-hmm. but that was just an attempt to win Ray's pity and sympathy. You see, in the old days, she never cared much if Ray did philander a bit because she had her own career, other interests.
Mm-hmm.
And now she has only Ray.
Well, do you think she loves him, Jack?
Loves him? Well, not the way you mean love, Myrtle, but she is jealous. I'm afraid if that woman were aroused too much, she could... Well, she could kill Ray or the woman who was interfering with her interests.
You mean Myrtle's in danger?
Well, oh, no, Margie. I've got brains enough to stay away from Ray Hunt.
It seems to me that I've mentioned lunch several times. Now, aren't you girls hungry?
I'm starved.
Oh, me too, Jack.
Oh, by the way, Myrtle, that man who was in my office is Mr. Baker from California, the gentleman that just went out.
Uh-huh.
You might be able to help him out. You know a lot of show people.
Well, what is it, Jack?
Well, he's looking for a missing actress, a woman named... Let me see, what was it? Agnes Hallam.
Agnes Hallam?
Myrtle, what's the matter?
Well, do you know her, Myrtle?
Nor, oh, no. No, I never heard of her.
Agnes Hallam. And why should her name upset Myrtle Spear so? Myrtle says she never heard of the lady, but her manner belies her words. Maybe we'll hear more about this mysterious woman in the next chapter of the story of Myrtle and Marge. This is Andre Baruch speaking.